Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I write a weekly column for Cracked called The People vs. Adam Todd Brown, and I use that column to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then, I come on this show to defend those opinions. Joining me today, he is a Cracked editor who you can see telling jokes directly to your face June 2nd at the Unpopular Opinion Live show at Westside Comedy Theater. You should come see it. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a funny guy. Tom Ryman. Also joining me, she is on the show all the goddamn time and holds the distinction for being the only guest to ever get drunk on the air, unless you count Quincy Johnson. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always great to have her here, Vanessa Gritton. It's going to be a great show. Let's start recording, Brett.
An electrifying opening few minutes.
Thank you. Yeah. We just talked for about 45 minutes about Mad Max, and now we're going to talk about it more. How great was that fucking movie?
I wouldn't know.
The greatest.
It was the best movie I've ever seen and will ever see for some time.
Vanessa has not seen it.
It was a transcendent experience, and you really missed out.
You should have been there opening day with the rest of us.
I really did.
Every Halloween party for the next 7 years is going to be people dressed up as Charlize Theron or that little guy in the little throne who is like, they're getting away.
That's going to be a difficult costume to pull off.
Yeah. Or the guitar guy. Or the guitar guy.
You're so much about guitar guy, and it doesn't make sense, wait until it does.
It will make splendid,
glorious
sense.
We're going to go see it after
when you see it.
I have to.
Brett, do you want to go see Mad Max again?
Do you?
Well, I'm editing this podcast when we're done. I do want to see it again.
Do it in the theater.
Just bring it with you. It's fine.
Do it on your iPhone.
Yeah, it's fine.
You don't really need to hear the dialogue.
Yeah. So,
not that there really is much.
The first half hour of the dialogue is completely grunt intelligible anyway. Yeah, like
grunts and explosions and people banging into shit.
Thick Australian accents.
That's surviving accidents they would never survive.
Right.
That's fine with me.
Thick Tom Hardy accents as well.
He barely speaks for the first
first 2 hours, and then the credits roll.
He just makes like person noises.
It's absurd that I haven't seen it yet because I love post-apocalyptic movies. Like,
hit it, Brett. You know, the hardest part of the show for me is the first few minutes because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life when all I really want to do is talk about what I've been up to since last week. That's why this segment is called This Week in Me. M-E.
This sounds like the guitar guy.
Yeah, this is the guitar guy.
Bam.
Imagine him just on his
he's coming.
Bungee cord.
Oh, he's coming.
He just woke up.
On the interstate.
They're about 10 minutes away.
How about that part where he's sleeping and he wakes up? He just wakes up into rock.
Right into it, yeah.
Find somebody else for the next 45 minutes. I'm going to go see Mad Max.
The best is when he's fighting. You remember when Max jumps up there and takes the guitar away from him, and he's fighting with him for a second, but as soon as the guitar is made available to him again, he stops fighting and goes back to his guitar. That's all he cares about is his guitar.
He is the greatest character ever.
In cinema history, I think, because his motivation is so clear.
To rock.
Right, that's all he
and
ever
the four,
wanted.
And the four drum guys on the back of his car.
Yeah, those guys are badass.
Yeah,
too.
But they're not him.
All right, well, we need about...
He's clearly
there's no more gasoline left. There's no more water left. There's no more women left. We're going to chase after all this stuff. But we need a big rig just full of musical instruments to rock.
Well, you got to get yourself psyched up if you're going to go drive through the desert for days.
Yeah,
he did it, too.
Fuck, that movie sucks.
You can't just bring a radio.
No.
A CD wallet, please.
Especially not then. Like, radios don't run on gas or whatever the fuck. However Mad Max works.
Is that how radios work? I have no idea.
Nope. My column this week is about near-death experiences that match famous visions of hell. Ooh, in honor of Halloween, which is in October, of course.
Every year. Same time every year.
Several months from now, but...
Maybe Dia de los Muertos is coming up? I don't know.
Yes.
Is that also October
also
or something?
Also October.
Okay, well, all right. Well.
What's coming up that we can celebrate, Vanessa?
Father's Day.
Yeah.
June 17th, O.J. Simpson Day. That's the day he was driving across the freeway in his white Bronco.
I'm always fascinated by what you can just pull out offhand.
Why I can just pull that out?
Yeah. No, that's a famous
date. It's my son's birthday.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I know.
Cool.
He was born the day.
I was about to say, was he born in 94?
Yeah, I'm old, man.
No, that was the day, right? 94?
Yeah, you're flipping between that and the NBA Finals, the Rangers.
Well, it was a C-section, so I was watching that shit.
Yeah.
I was like watching someone get murdered. I was way into that.
That was the day my family moved to California as well. We didn't have any furniture yet. We had a little TV, plugged that into the wall. We were in our empty house in a new land, just watching OJ drive away.
In a new world.
Yep.
A new journey of discovery.
We should shoot our own 6-17-94 documentary, because there's a ESPN 30 for 30 about that day. Because the OJ thing happened.
That's what I'm saying. There was an NBA Finals game.
The NBA Finals.
There was an NHL Finals.
Yeah, who won?
It was the Rangers. It was the first time the Rangers won in like 20 years. And then I think there was a golf thing. I think the Masters was happening as well.
They had their victory parade.
US Open of golf, I think, was also happening. And like someone was hitting all the balls.
I think The Shadow, starring Alec Baldwin, was opening. Speed came out that summer.
Speed, yeah.
Arnold Palmer played his final U.S. Open. The FIFA World Cup in the U.S. of A. started.
Wow.
All sorts of stuff happened.
What a day. And O.J. Simpson. Why isn't that even listed?
It is.
No, that was the thing.
They lead with that.
Big sports stuff was happening, and slowly but surely throughout the day, all the networks went away from their live coverage of actual sports to a car chase.
I seem to remember, like, did they right away know that it was O.J.? For some reason, I have some memory of them being like, now we think it might be, like, they didn't say at first that it was definitely O.J. Simpson driving the Bronco, I think.
Yeah, I think they knew pretty early, because he called, like, someone.
That's right, no, because he made he said he was going to shoot himself or something.
Like, he wanted to make a show of it. Why didn't he just drive off?
I have zero memory of that year, because I was learning to walk.
Yeah. Do you even remember 9/11?
Barely.
Well, what you do remember, never forget. Okay, so...
Death.
OJ, death. Good segue into near-death experiences. Who should we talk about first? Anyone have any favorites?
My favorite was kind of the last guy.
I didn't get to the last guy.
Dr. What's-his-name, who...
Dr. George Ritchie.
Went on a transcendent experience to Richmond?
Yeah.
And then maybe Detroit?
Yeah, his hell somehow involved a trip to Richmond.
Like I feel like a lot of these people's visions of the afterlife is just them having like a dream, or because it seems like it's like manifestations of what they just happen to be thinking about. Because in Dr. George Ritchie's vision of learning forever looked like, he said it looked exactly like the library at the University of Richmond or wherever he went to school.
Yeah.
And then he's listing when the guy who's, I guess, supposed to be Jesus, who's like carrying him, it's like the Christmas Carol. It's like the Ghost of Christmas Past. It's like he's like taking him around, like showing him all these people that can't drink. Like all these ghosts are in this bar on a naval base trying to grab people's drinks and they can't. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Charles Dickens?
Yeah,
there's
a lot of that. There's a lot of that movie kind of thing where someone comes back as a ghost and like, he's like, I tried to lean against the wire and my body fell through.
Yeah, it's all like what dreams may come. But then like when he gets to the end and Jesus or whoever, Albert Brooks from Defending Your Life, is like showing him what the apocalypse is going to be. This is the only thing I wrote down because he's talking about like he's seeing the world over, hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, volcanoes, bombs exploding all over the world, and then very specifically armies marching on the United States from the south. So part of his vision of the apocalypse is Mexico taking over the United States. Like that's the end of the world.
Did he die in 1898?
Maybe. I guess they saw the bombs going off and they're like, well, we might as well get Texas back while nobody's looking. Like, what?
A lot of the really famous depictions of hell, minorities get treated really shitty. And it's like, did you see hell or are you just trying to convince everyone minorities are terrible?
And there's this one scene where he's talking about hell, like his vision of hell, and not like the people who are like trying to drink or smoke or whatever, but like that like pit of people who are like just biting and punching and killing each other over and over again. He talks about a woman trying to smoke a cigarette, but down there he sees this one woman. It's like, why doesn't she just leave when she keeps getting beaten? No, she wants to stay around people who have a like-minded heart or whatever. And it's like, are you justifying like a cycle of abuse that you had here? Like you were, it seems like he's like thinking about this times like, Well, if she was really unhappy, she would have left after I kicked the shit out of her all those times. Like, it seems like he's justifying something that happened in his life or something that he maybe saw happen. Because it just stuck out to me. Like, that's the only person he singles out in that vision of hell is this woman who's not leaving.
Yeah.
Against this sea of cannibal rapists that are in hell.
That's the kind of thing that I'd read, that I'd find a woman that's attached to him and be like, are you okay?
So, yeah, this guy was great.
So, basically, he wakes up in his hospital room, right?
Yeah.
And he does all of that stuff that happens in movies where, like, you're like, hey, I'm here, and someone walks right through you. And then he, like, runs to Richmond. Why does he run to Richmond?
I don't know. He, like, flies there and tries to talk to an old man outside of a cafe, and he can't understand
him. He runs into like a beat up red cafe with a PBR sign.
Glowing PBR sign.
That's because that's the official beer of hell.
That's one. What's cool? What's amazing about that? That's one of the only specific details in his vision is the PBR sign, and then the armies of Mexico overtaking America.
I bet an executive from PBR read this and was like, "Oh, come on." That's not fair.
But like the rest of it is just like this wave of like sort of impressionistic kind of things where he's talking about vague details of what the afterlife is going to be like. And then the only time he hammers in on specifics is like Richmond, PBR, Mexico taking over America.
And some guy in his bed at one point.
I think that's him, right?
Oh, yeah, he's describing himself.
Describing his own body.
Yeah, he describes a lot of sex acts. People committing acts.
Yeah, they're like miming sex acts
in the streets,
in the pit of hell that he sees.
In
the pit of. So I guess he specifically said like pantomiming sex acts. So I'm picturing like a bunch of like ghouls like pretending to beat off. Like that's what.
Yeah,
he sees
that'd be kind of funny to watch.
Right, like, that'd be kind of funny.
Like you're in hell and you're like, hey, here's our pit of masturbating demons.
Hell is just everyone making a jerk off motion.
It's a bunch of goblins down there pretending to butt fuck each other.
Hell is you see Santa Barbara on Halloween weekend. Just like dudes walking around with masks on, being like, oh, I'm jacking off.
That would get maddening after a while. Yeah. Like, that probably is my hell, if I think about it.
It's probably very
enough.
Close to that.
And well, there's, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, Angie Fenimore basically describes what is already my hell, people that can't communicate but somehow already know everything about each other. That's horrible. That's everything now.
Should we talk about her? Is there anything else we want to say about George Ritchie?
About Dr. George?
There's a famous vision of hell called the Vision of Wedi, which was a German monk who, I don't know how people come up with their visions of hell. I think people were just getting high.
Just like hallucinating.
They were religious enough that if they wrote it down, people would be like, oh, okay.
Right.
If I have a dream and wake up in the morning, it's not a vision of hell. I just had a dream. But can we just be like, oh, this person just had a weird ass dream?
You would think so, because at what point does, obviously they didn't experience brain death, except maybe for that one guy who gets shot in the head, but I guess we'll get to him.
Yeah.
But on all these, their definition of being legally dead is their heart stopped beating. So your brain is still working.
So what happens when your brain dies?
I don't know. You probably don't see anything, right? Yeah, you're just like, nothing.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not. I saw Flatliners once, and I was like, I don't need to. That's a frontier that doesn't need to be explored. If Kiefer Sutherland can't nail that down, then
no, exactly.
It's well out of my field.
Okay. Angie Fenimore.
I did the most research on her.
Me too.
You brought like printouts and
everything. Yeah, this looks like... I saw Rivers Cuomo's notebook where he comes up with song ideas, and it looked like that.
It's color-coded?
Yeah, it looked like serial killer shit.
Oh, this feels like serial killer shit, staying up all night and
reading about religious views on suicide.
Yeah, I printed out some stuff on religious views on suicide and then hell and non-Judeo-Christian religion.
I said this on the Dead Things podcast, and I'll say it here too. If you walk in someone's house and you see like more than 10 notebooks filled with their own writings, get the fuck out of there.
Right.
It doesn't matter what's in there. It could be jokes.
My room is terrifying then.
Get the fuck out.
Right. I've got like 30 notebooks.
See?
They're
everywhere.
This is like Kevin Spacey's book from Seven.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It's the same subject matter.
Yeah, they have a color code. It's everything that's yellow is linear timelines, blue is quotes from her, and green is whenever she heard God.
What?
What?
Did God tell you to do that?
Yes. No, but my favorite thing was that she described the beginning of hell as a slideshow of her life.
That comes up
like
in a lot of these.
Like an actual slideshow, a 3D slideshow of her life, like your aunt's showing you a trip that they went on.
Yeah,
right, only it's like in Epcot Center
Yeah.
Surround sound 3D.
Yeah, that comes up in a lot of these, and it's like a slideshow, but you see each moment of your life, but you feel it from the perspective of the people you are interacting
with. Yeah, she mentioned that. She said she could feel how everybody felt about her, and then described it as going like from a warm tunnel to darkness to being in a room full of teenagers.
Yeah. So yeah, she goes through this life review, and then it ends, and she's just in this black room, and she sees this group of teenagers standing over her shoulder, and she immediately blurts out, oh, we must be the Suicides.
But it's like, in that way.
Yeah, she's like, we're the Suicides.
Yeah, must be all the assholes that killed ourselves, right? Am I right?
And then like a second later, she's like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
And she describes everybody as kind of like just transferring information inaudibly.
Yeah.
They're all speaking in thought. Like she can, everybody can just hear everybody's thoughts and there's no filter. So everyone knows everything you're thinking and everything like you've ever thought and everything you're feeling, but no way to really communicate with each other. It just exists in like this cloud around them, but like nobody's acknowledging anyone else.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty awful.
Internet.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Kind of, yeah.
It's kind of the internet.
And then there's just one super
old
dude.
Sounds like a woman afraid of the internet.
Hell is the internet. Yeah, yeah.
She sees that super old dude in like robes or whatever.
Oh, yeah. She said she thought it was Judas.
Judas Iscariot.
She thought it was Judas.
Yeah.
Because she said from the teenagers, she was sucked into a shadow realm because she thought she was in a sorting process. And then she met Judas and then felt bad that she thought, this must be Judas. And then realized he could hear her thoughts. And then... from there, it was God yelling at her.
Turns out it's not Judas. It's like Marlon Brando or something. Some other old guy.
Are you supposed to know like New Testament things to die or go to hell?
It seems...
because like, that's the... I watch Jeopardy a lot. I'm into Jeopardy. But like whenever there's like a characters of the New Testament, I'm like, well, I'm not going to get any of these ones right. Because I heard of Jesus. But otherwise, I don't really know any of the characters.
It seems like...
I don't know much about the Bible.
Yeah, it seems like you would be lost. That's like trying to play a game without reading the instruction booklet.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You get there
get
and you're
down
like...
down there and some guy would be like, it's me. You know me. And I'm,
no, I don't. Sorry, dude.
Like, Abraham.
Morpheus.
Back when this mattered, I'm gonna flesh out this analogy for you. Back when this mattered, I rented this Wolverine video game for like Super Nintendo, but it didn't come with an instruction book. Back when that was like really important because there were no tutorials in games, you couldn't pause or whatever. So I just went like struggling through that game, had no idea what any of the buttons did, didn't know where I was supposed to go, didn't even know what I was supposed to be doing. That's exactly what hell is like for non-Christian people.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, according to these visions.
I went to I had to go to a Christian private school.
Whee!
So, for 4 years. So they'd have us memorize like verses every week, like three paragraphs of verses of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I could probably tell you like every book of the Bible in order in my sleep.
Wow. I've always wanted to study it, but
Corinthians.
Not enough to actually
it
do
gets
it.
Like, when you open the book, you're like, this is really long.
Yeah. Someone read this to me.
I don't want
to
do this.
I want the audio book.
There's one by James Earl Jones.
Audio book is like 65 days long.
It's way too long. It's way too long.
We should podcast the Bible.
We should
read all that and
a dramatic
canonical and non-canonical.
Yeah, why don't we? So Angie Fenimore.
Yeah, at one point when she describes talking to God, she says the words, my ability to see with my eyes was somehow linked with my willingness to believe, so bad news for the blind.
Yeah. Well, it's just that they don't believe in God. That's why they
right, can't. That's why they went blind.
If they weren't such heathens.
I laughed.
Stevie Wonder.
Like such a child when she said the words, the ray of light penetrated me with incredible things. I laughed like a little kid all by myself in my room, repeating that line over and over to myself.
A ray of light penetrated her.
With incredible force.
Incredible force.
And she described being in spiritual timeout. Like those were her actual words.
Oh.
After the penetration?
After the light penetration.
That sounds about right.
Seems appropriate.
Oh my God.
That's like the booming voice of, now go stand in the corner and don't look at me for a while.
You mentioned that she had an audiobook on cassette.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see
it's
how much it was.
It's still available on Amazon on cassette.
And I wanted to see how much it was. And she actually left a review of her own book.
Oh, that's great.
And it wasn't so much a review. It was in January 2007, she wrote, I wrote Beyond the Darkness and would like readers to be aware of a typo that, in my opinion, changes the context dramatically. On page 101, it reads Great White Beard when it should read Neat White Beard. There are other typos, but this one was important to me.
What the fuck? It's interesting that you bring that up, because that makes her seem like kind of a weirdo. Right. And speaking of that, she was recently named the Divine Royal of Utah and Prophetess of the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Oh.
And that probably sounds like a big job title, but before that, she was referred to as Her Royal Majesty Princess Angie Fenimore.
By whom?
She's like a high-ranking Mormon, apparently.
Oh, she's...
And apparently Mormons elect their own royal family to govern over Utah.
I was about to say, I didn't realize there was so much...
If you look her up, she's not really that old.
Well, she talks about being, I think, 27 in the writing, and the book is not... It's only like 10 years old, right? So,
yeah, is it like 20? Being a high-ranking Mormon is just like being a supervisor at a retail position.
Pretty much.
It's the same level of impressive. Anyway.
Yeah, it's like being the president of the Candace Cameron fan club.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Which I am.
I forgot about that.
This day in eternity, July 15th, 2014, the Holy Spirit taps Her Royal Majesty Princess Angie Fenimore as the Divine Royal of Utah and the Prophetess of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church.
So it was important to her that we knew the distinction that God's beard is not great.
It's
so
neat.
Much as it's just it's well it's shampooed. He's keeping it under control.
Yeah, it wasn't like lumberjack shit. It
right.
was like a
he trims it over his sink, but like when he does the electronic
James
buzzer,
Boland.
Like he doesn't get those little pieces like around the sink that you have to clean up later. You're like, oh god.
Billy Mays.
Yeah.
Clean up all this.
Billy Mays had a very
he had
well
a very clean,
had
like,
an excellent
well
beard.
It looked like he wore a beard toupee.
That's exactly what it looked like.
It was just so clean.
I wonder if Billy Mays is in hell.
I don't know, but wherever he is, I'm sure he's got somebody landscaping his beard for him.
What if he's? I bet he's selling people on hell. Like when people die, and it's because some of these people, the way they describe it, it's like you almost have to say you want to go to hell sometimes. Yeah. Like the guy, there's another guy, Howard Storm. He woke up kind of the same way, like a movie ghost. But there were like these figures at the door who were like, come with us.
Yeah.
They were like, no, that's cool. Come with us.
And I keep going, but I have a question about this.
And that's how they made it seem. Like they couldn't just go in and take him.
Right. Like they had to trick him to go to hell.
Yeah.
Because they were like, no, come on. Like and they lure him down this hallway away from his body, and then they start eating him.
Yeah.
which it's pretty metal.
Yeah,
but,
He was an atheist.
Right.
So he died. He said he died. He said if he used the word God when he was dying, it was just out of anger. Like he wasn't like praying or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, he was like, God damn it.
Because he was an atheist.
I'm dead.
And then he died and he was like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
This is a problem.
Yeah. So he starts saying like, he says like the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, like, while these demons are eating him, like he basically follows them he said it could have been months.
Yeah. He has no idea how long. So how long of a con does this need to be for them to lure you to hell?
And as they were going, they kept getting more aggressive and more aggressive. And finally they like start eating him. And he said he hears his own voice say, pray to Jesus. And he's like, I don't know how. So he just started shouting out shit like, our Lord who art in heaven.
Yeah.
And like all these things eating him were like, he's like backed off. Whoa, come on.
At one point he said like one nation under God, or like he says part of the Pledge of Allegiance, and the demons like shriek.
I recited Our Father at 13 when I was falling out of a roller coaster. And you know what? I continued to fall out of the roller coaster.
God didn't throw a web up like Spider-Man to catch me. I just continued to fall out of the goddamn roller coaster.
What I'm gleaning from a lot of these near-death experiences is accurate, is you can literally just wait till the last second and be like, all right, God, I'm ready.
Yep.
Come get me.
From what I understand,
right
like
here,
everything...
getting eaten by demons, if you could come pick me up,
yeah,
please.
Just swing by. It's okay.
Just
it's,
Uber it.
It's, yeah, it's like
you can just Uber God when you're getting
it's
devoured.
Like when you, when
I hope he's more accurate with your time estimation.
Go to the pin.
It's like, said 6 minutes for 6 minutes, God.
It's like calling
the
not
little
it.
Pin.
I hate that shit.
Telling God to come pick you up after the movie's over. They say it's going to let out at like 3:45, so just... Come by and pick me up.
Telling God, what side of the street? I'm on the north side. And he's like, I don't know which one is north and which one's south.
You don't have a compass on your phone, God?
You should know this.
Which way is the sun?
You live in New York City. You should know which way is north and south.
My favorite thing about going to a private Christian school was that argument was basically like, how does Mjolnir work in terms of between all the other teachers? So they'd be like, no, if you repent at the last second, it's fine. And then another teacher would say, no, it's good X. And then you'd watch them argue about your students going to hell.
Sweet.
They're all going to hell.
Oh, yeah. I don't even worry about it. But yeah, it seems like every concept that we have, you know, from like Faust or any other like literature or
like Plato.
Yeah. It seems like you're totally fine if at the very last second you're like, I was just messing, like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Can you come get this guy away from me? He's giving me a rash.
Actually, most of these are like that, except for Matthew Botsford, because he talked about how he had a belief, but God, what was it?
He's the guy that got shot, right?
He's the guy that got shot. He said he had a belief, but it was like minimal, and that at the time it was all about him, and he was 28, and he felt young, vibrant, and strong. So he was one of the few where it was already there, but it wasn't that much. Like, he was casual about it.
It seems like that was worse, right?
Yeah.
Like, that pissed him off.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, because he describes four-legged creatures in agony and smoke-carrying souls.
Right, like his was the most metal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Matt, Dr. Storm or whatever, getting tricked down the cannibal hallway was pretty metal. But this dude, like, he was chained by semi-visible
black chains.
Yeah, and they were, like, stripping his skin off like ribbons, and lava was melting his feet.
And there were bubbles would come up from the lava. Each one contained a single human soul. It was just pop,
super intense.
Oval-eyed demons that would mock him.
Yeah, they were making fun of him. Like, I wanted to know what they were saying. Like, if I was conducting that interview, I would have asked him, what did the demons say to you?
Did it sound anything like your childhood bullies?
Yeah.
Were they at least good? Like, were they good with their material? Or were they just, like, being like, hey, look at this asshole?
Were they into how he tasted?
Did you feel like they wanted to be there or that they were just there because they were on the clock?
Yeah, like his was the most Abrahamic description of hell of anyone.
Right, like it was like the most...
It was Dante's Inferno, basically.
Kinda, yeah.
Without all the circles, it was just like one
Without all the people who were mean to him.
That kinda brings me back to what you said, like if a person's just having a dream. But also, one of the visions of hell is called Swedenborg's Hell. Or Swedenborg's hell. And he says that each person carries their own hell around in their head. So maybe this motherfucker just read Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, well, that's what hell's like. And now he dies and was like, oh, yeah, I'm in hell. It looks just like that book I read.
Yeah. This adds up, yeah.
My hell would be people overpronouncing foods that are from different countries. Like burrito or spaghetti.
Burrito. Oh.
I used to work at Panera, and people would rattle through everything on the menu, but then when they got to croissant, would just lay it on. And every time I want to punch you in the eye.
Yeah, I get tense every time I go to order a gyro. Gyro?
Yeah.
It's like, hero? I don't know.
I can't listen to Giada De Laurentiis speak.
Who?
She has a cooking show.
She's on Food Network, but she's like, spaghetti, and I'm like, die. Yeah. Please.
Have you seen that girl? The French-Canadian, like, rock star punk girl?
Avril Lavigne?
No, she's, like, French-Canadian cooking channel, Avril Lavigne.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
I forgot her name, but
she has a show called Bitchin' Kitchen or something.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
She has a show called Bitchin' Kitchen.
Yeah,
she's
hate it already.
French-Canadian,
you're
but
sure it's
she,
not Avril
moved to the, she moved to, like, Quebec from Italy, so she has the weirdest accent.
Yeah, because I think
world.
She's also has a Russian relative or something, and describes that too.
So she sounds like Borat.
She does, and she looks like Avril Lavigne, and she's like, "I'm gonna make some meatballs now."
so intense, and then she does horns at the camera.
Devil horns.
I'm gonna put some gravy on these French fries. Rock on.
Yeah.
Why are you all watching so much Food Network?
Because sometimes when you don't eat that much, that's
Nadia
what you do
G's
instead.
Bitchin' Kitchen.
That's it, Nadia G.
Nadia
I'm
G.
I'm gonna play a little sizzle.
Oh,
reel.
Oh, you have to. Her voice makes me upset.
Sizzle reel.
She's like the Jacoby Shaddix of kitchen.
Oh, come on.
That's a shame.
Oh yeah, I can tell from the music.
Yeah, she gets really into the camera, and oh, she's the worst.
Talk.
Kind of lover.
Talk.
This episode of Bitchin' Kitchen is all about deflating your mate. See, whenever you're cooking a low-fat meal, you want to use big flavors to make up for the lack of greasy goodness.
What the hell is that voice?
She sounds like a Bond villain.
Smash potatoes and sear this gorgeous tuna steak.
She sounds like somebody playing a Bond villain and they hadn't decided what accent they wanted to do, so they're just going to, I'm just going to do an accent. I'm just going to do a voice.
Yeah.
It's vaguely Eastern European.
Yeah, she's like a spy for the UN.
I never thought I'd dislike someone more than Avril Lavigne until I saw her.
Avril Lavigne, man, that's a tough sell.
Yeah.
Like, I like the dude from Nickelback better than her.
Mm.
They're married.
I know.
They're divorcing.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yep.
Apparently she's just
complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good I job. Hate myself.
Yeah. Great job.
So glad I didn't think of Skater Boy at the last second.
Well, she
Avril Lavigne. Does she have a near-death experience?
She couldn't hold on to her Skater Boy.
No, but she has Lyme disease.
Daryl Hall had Lyme disease.
Really?
This is no joking matter. I mean, it'd be like if Avril Lavigne has it. That's funny.
Right.
But not Daryl Hall.
No, God, no.
We need Hall & Oates, man. Everyone here a big Hall & Oates fan?
Yes.
Of course.
Sometimes.
Don't be an asshole, Brett.
A bunch of their songs?
Well, yeah. You don't have to, like, know. Like, they're not an album band.
Yeah.
They're, like, a greatest hits band.
Right.
Oh, easily.
No, yeah.
No one needs.
There's a reason their number one selling album is their greatest hits album.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the case with them.
Absolutely. Have we talked about all of the.
Well, this guy,
We didn't talk about this guy.
He's the guy that had Super Hell.
The high school kid. Yeah, this is what kind of inspired me to write the article. This high school kid in Texas recently was running laps in gym class and collapsed, and his heart stopped for like 20 minutes, and he saw Jesus.
His description of Jesus is great because I can't remember the exact wording. It's like he had, I saw a man who had long ruffled hair and kind of a thick beard. And it didn't take me long to realize that was
Brent
Jesus.
Raider.
Like,
it could have been like Waylon Jennings.
Right. Like
Merle.
You just described like so many. It could have been fucking Martin Starr. Like you just described so many people.
It was Barry Gibb.
It might have been.
Are there people who lived in India who have near-death experience and they're like, oh, I saw Jesus.
Jesus.
Or did they see like their equivalent of a guy?
Yeah. How shitty would that be
if
you were in one of those countries and you saw white Jesus, you'd be like, oh, fuck, God damn it.
Right.
I got the wrong one.
No way.
Because
one in Texas is coming back from from their near-death experience going, I saw black Jesus. They're just going to be like, yeah, I saw Jesus. What do you want to know? Yeah, beard,
and then they never come back and they're like, oh, I saw the Prophet Muhammad and now I can never draw him.
Yeah.
Because he's real and he's the true prophet of God.
They just see like different.
They just see what they want. It's like not what they want.
They see like movie versions of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, I saw Willem Dafoe.
Yeah,
I saw
Caviezel.
I saw Jeremy Sisto.
One of these near death experience people, Howard Storm. He also, since he was down, this is what I love about his trip to hell. They ended up just kind of taking him all around and showing him everything. And at one point, he's down there, and he's like, well, I have all these people who know all this shit. I'm just going to start pounding them with some questions. So he asks about, like, the future of the United States and whether there's ever going to be nuclear war. And they said, no, there's never going to be nuclear war because God loves the world. So stop worrying about that, everybody.
It's a load off my mind.
He asked them about the future, and they're like, how the fuck should I know? I'm dead.
Yeah.
I died 100 years ago.
Like, I don't know.
I can ask you a question about trade routes in the 19th century.
You're going to ask me about steam engines. Maybe I can tell you something.
And he was also told the United States must change immediately and become the teachers of goodness and generosity to the rest of the world. Good fucking luck.
So he became a conservative minister.
Right. So he came back as one of George W. Bush's advisors.
What's weird about his also is at one point he asked what the true religion is. And they were like, whatever one gets you closest to God. All right.
I feel like
a lot of these.
Was he the only one that said that? I feel like one other person said the same thing where it was like,
oh,
yeah,
was it
Dr. George or whatever
was it George Ritchie who said that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe
he was talking about how they were all...
theirs were really similar.
They were all studying all the religions of the world. And they're like, well, it doesn't matter because whatever... these are all the different ways that people are trying to know their creator, and it's all that matters is that there's that bond of love between the people and their creator.
That's all.
Yeah.
You can eat meat on Fridays.
Yeah, who cares?
Catholics, come on. Quit being so uptight. Have some sex before marriage. So many virgins out there. Catholic Church is so
huge. Because it's
going
to be a real drag if you the night of the wedding where you're like, I don't think I can be down with this for the next 48 years or however long we're going
to
be alive.
It's so weird to think, because I know I had so many teachers that were pure until marriage. It's so weird to think that I had sex before most of the 30-year-olds that were teaching me about my body.
Yeah, that shouldn't check out. They should be able to write that on some kind of form and feed it through a machine, and that machine should go, no.
No.
You need to get some different teachers in there.
You need to not be speaking to anyone about this.
Because most of them are just getting married now, and it's like, do you know what I did behind the bleachers?
Right, like every sex education class in any school, it doesn't matter if it's a Christian school, it's a completely like secular
school.
Oh, they
were super abstinence only.
They should all be taught by like Nikki Six.
Yeah, I want somebody who's been in the trenches.
Yeah, like...
I don't want somebody who has to draw it out to figure out what they might be looking at some point.
It's like, you know, joining the football team in high school and the coach is like, well, I played one of the video games once. I thought it was very violent. I'm more of a golf man myself. I don't like the sport. I really don't like it. But I'm going to teach you a little bit about hitting, catching balls.
I'm going to teach you how to run.
Hitting balls. All right. Should we do comments?
Of course.
What about our own near-death experiences?
Oh, were we going to talk about that?
I don't know.
Did we have any?
Record scratch.
I got one.
You have one? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot. I said.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Mine almost made my family a bunch of money.
All right.
Was this the roller coaster story?
No. Damn. It was, God, what's that resort in the Bahamas that they always had? Atlantis. I was there on my honeymoon. And they had just reopened the beach after really violent currents and waves and shit like that. And I was the first one in, because you really shouldn't be. And I was just sitting on the shore, and a wave pulled me in. And I'm drowning, and I'm trying to call out to tourists to be like, hey, I'm dying, somebody save me. And I realize that my swimsuit top had come off, so now people are just waving at me and whistling, and they think that's what I'm doing and not that I'm actually dying.
Nice.
So my last thoughts before losing consciousness were, I hope I could take each and every one of you with me.
So you went out on a solid nugget of pure hate.
Pure hate.
Just hatred.
So much spite.
Bore you into the...
Yeah, you would have been haunting that body of water. Your negative energy. People be swimming out there and see you with no fucking top on. Be like, oh, I saw a ghost. It was great. Fucking awesome.
The topless pirate ghost of Atlantis.
It was
Atlantis.
If I had
resort.
Actually died, I would have died with so much spite in my heart.
Right, it would have been the fucking Grudge, but at Atlantis.
I would have single-handedly taken down that resort, but a little Asian tourist dragged me to shore. And when I woke up, there's just this guy going, she needs weed. And
right.
The taxi driver wouldn't take me back to my hotel room because I was too sandy.
What?
Because they had dragged me to shore, so they had rolled me in a bunch of
sand. Couldn't they have sprayed you off?
No. He handed me a very...
Taxi drivers in like resort islands are very particular.
Yeah, they are. He handed me a wire brush to clean up.
A wire brush?
Yeah, one he'd used to like clean his rims, and I'm like, you know what?
Did he want you to like clean some old roller skates? Like, why would you hand you a wire brush?
Oh my god!
No credit card.
To this
cash
day,
only.
Still weird about water.
I would imagine, yeah.
If I did die, though, my family would have been super rich.
Yeah,
like they would have made a lot of money off of that resort.
Yeah, probably.
There'd have been a wing of the resort named after you, I'm sure, like a cafeteria. A swimming pool.
An ice machine.
An ice machine. Yeah, an ice machine.
I know at one point being super pissed because I kept thinking, I can't believe this is how I go. I had so many other plans for how I'd die and it'd be so rock and roll. And this is how I go. Topless in the shallow end of a resort.
It's pretty rock and roll. You're at a resort. You're topless.
You know how many rock and roll stars have drowned in pools?
Yeah.
At least one.
Get a drink in your hand. You're fucking Brian Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Brian Jones.
It also took my car keys, my sunglasses, and my drink, because I had a bag next to me.
Oh.
Why'd you take all that stuff in the ocean?
I didn't mean to take it in the ocean. It was on the sand, and the wave just took everything.
I was about to say,
the wave picked you up.
Lord Poseidon took her drink and her keys and her phone. You weren't paying attention to the story.
My visions of hell were that of the Hindu religion, and I haven't even studied it. No.
I mean, do you go to a different place if you go to Davy Jones' locker? Is it different? Is it like you're at a weird tiki bar instead of going
to
like the cannibal hallway or whatever? Because these people died through conventional means.
You're going to go back and try to have another near-death experience?
To go to Davy Jones' locker.
Yeah, because it might be kind of cool, or it might be like a Foot Locker.
Or it could just be Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland.
Oh, fuck.
I'm trapped there forever.
Nah.
Weird smell.
Tom, have you ever had a near-death experience?
Yes, I was in a really bad car accident in ninth grade, I think. I had just got my driver's license, and I wound up driving my stepdad's Mustang convertible directly perpendicular across like three lanes of traffic, and wound up timed perfectly to go underneath a semi-truck.
Yeesh.
So wound up underneath it, so the wheels hit the side of the car, and thing like folded kind of inward like a U, and the hood of the car, the top of the car, was one of those canvas things, so it like snapped and hit me in the head, and my head was open. I had to like staple my head back together. So it was like for the several hours from the accident to actually, you know, being in the hospital, I was so out of it that I kept having the thought, like, I wonder if like if I'm like what dreams may come right now. Like if I'm like a ghost right now walking around, like I really couldn't, like people had to like guide me and like sit me down and everything. But I was so out of it that I kept having this thought, like, what if I'm a ghost? Like looking at people, I was like, am I a ghost? No, dude, just lay down. And there was some stupid Jewel song on the radio. I think it must have either been in the ambulance or in the emergency room. It was that song where she's singing about her hands.
Oh, yeah. It's called My Hands.
My Hands. So that song was, like, stuck in my head through this entire... Which is,
so you
like
were dead. You were in hell.
Yeah, that's a song
hell.
A ghost would hear.
Yeah.
Right? So I was like, I'm a fucking ghost. Like, I am. You know? There it is.
You know what? We should have... None of us should have acknowledged that the song was playing.
Right.
It should just be should go Tom back. Waking up from a coma.
Brett should go back and cut out any time that you guys actually interact with me. So it's just like me talking. It's like, guys, right? Like, that was a good point, right?
And at the end, Tom's been dead the entire time.
Right, like I was, I was Bruce Willis the whole time.
That would be funny.
Wow.
Let's just listen to this entire song.
So anyway, that's like my claim to fame. Like, there's three blocks from my house, there is a blood stain on the sidewalk. And that's
nice.
My head.
Sick.
How about you, Brett?
Nah.
Me either, really.
Nope. I'm
I mean,
untroubled.
I've come close to drowning a few times, but I didn't.
Yeah, I came. I almost had a really embarrassing drowning incident. I was in one of those, like, endless river kind of pools. And I was drunk. And I was literally in the shallow end. Like, when I stood up, it was, like, at my waist. But I had fallen to my knee, and when I kept trying to... Or to both of my knees, when I kept trying to get up, my foot kept slipping. So I was just, like, stuck. I'm like, fuck, I'm going to drown in 3 feet of water with a lifeguard. And I was, like, right at the edge, too. I wasn't, like... out in the center somewhere. I was just like, I had tried to get on the inner tube and fucked up, so I fell in the water, and I'm like, I'm not, like, I'm gonna die here.
That's like, that's
I can see the lifeguard, why aren't they fucking helping
it's
me?
It's like the dumbest Final Destination death.
And I think everyone was just like, is this motherfucker gonna drown? Like, we don't have to help this adult out of the 3 feet of water, do we? And that's, I bet, how people drown in 3 feet of water. They're like, look at this drunk motherfucker. Yeah. Oh, he's dead.
Yeah. I'm sure he's that's how dead. Most drownings happen at the beach. You'll see somebody's like, look at my, well, do they look like they're in trouble? They're just kind of, well, let's just let it play out.
Yeah,
it's probably fine.
Let's just wait it out.
Let's just wait it out. I mean, it would be super embarrassing if we swam all the way out there and the person didn't need help.
Yeah. I was agonizing because I can't plug my laptop in, and my it just died, and now I can't see the comments.
That we're got them on the screen.
Yeah. You know I can never read them from this angle.
I know.
I can read them to you. Like, if you're seeing eye friend.
Can we just make this the comments music?
Oh, I was going to fade in between.
My hands are small.
Ghost music today.
This song, actually, speaking of ghosts, is called Nirvana Vivo.
Oh.
I don't know why there's a lilting piano ballad named after Nirvana's YouTube page, but nevertheless, here it is. You know.
This haunting melody.
It's a big world out there.
Big world.
It's easy to feel
Like your hands are small.
You say don't matter.
But they're not yours.
But we want you to know that's not true.
Nope.
That's why we call this segment Your Voice Matters. Unless you're a ghost. Where we read your comments from the past few episodes and respond to them personally. You sons of bitches.
I wonder if any of our commenters died recently.
Probably.
Probably.
Like statistically?
Yeah, statistically speaking, someone who listens to this show probably dies every week.
Somebody is probably going to die while listening to this episode.
Yeah. And
it might be one of us.
Listening to this episode is going to be their hell.
Yeah.
They're just going to, like, never hear the end of this episode. This feels good. Okay, fade it out, Brett. So, yeah, I can't fucking see the comments.
Angry Samoan.
Oh, this isn't the last episode from two weeks ago, right?
What? Okay. We have two episodes of comments to go through.
Angry Samoan wants to know more about Brett's time as a club carny.
You were a club carny?
All right. Okay, so this is the new fucking meme of the show. We have to tell every guest this, like, every week. I worked at a nightclub in New York that was a Coney Island boardwalk-themed nightclub. And they had the bumpin' music, they had the bottle service, and they also had a number of carnival games that I manned.
He was a carny.
That sounds
awful.
Ring
toss, sledgehammer thing, the BB guns.
Sledgehammer thing.
The shooting the water in the clown's mouth, blow up the balloon.
That sounds
keep
terrible.
Keep going. Keep going.
Milk bottles with the softball, the wiffle ball into the basket.
Goldfish?
Goldfish, ping pong ball, the goldfish.
That's entirely too many games for a nightclub.
Especially,
and they were like $4 a piece to play.
If I want a goldfish under any circumstances, I'd be annoyed as fuck.
Yeah,
and
it's happened every time I've won a goldfish.
Get it out of here.
Yeah, like what are you gonna? You're gonna be dead terrible. In 4 days. Like, what do I even care?
Fucking disposable pets. That's how you teach your kids.
And
about
the place
death.
They also knew that they could make a lot of money for kids' birthday parties. So it was like 5-year-old birthday parties from noon to 7 p.m. And then they would do a changeover. And change out the prizes from like Phineas and Ferb dolls to like vibrators and stuff. So at night it was all like adult prizes, fuzzy handcuffs. All
right.
Yeah.
I want to raise a place like that. All
right. What's next? Comment. Somebody find one. How about what's that one? ATB was on point this episode.
Stay gold.
Hey, you got it.
No, the more airtime Brett gets, the less I want to listen. I had to shut off the episode of White Wine True Crime ATB, and he were on there because of his terrible foghorn leghorn voice.
I was doing a foghorn leghorn voice.
That's oh, yeah.
But this guy's name is John Paul Sarcasm, so I just only assume he's like someone teasing with because he's not actually, he doesn't believe it. So
someone in the comments a few weeks ago, I forgot to read it on the air, said that you sound like the other guy who sings on 1999 by Prince. And I went back and listened to it, and you absolutely
did. Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you wanted to queue up 1999 while we read more comments, you'll hear that you sound like former Revolution guitar player Brown Mark. His real name's Mark Brown, but he goes by the stage name Brown Mark.
Because that's super inconspicuous.
That's fucking awful. And that's who Brett sounds like. Did Brett do a stand-up set yet? Because I really, really want to fucking listen to that. No. And we don't record the shows anyway. Just come to the show.
I didn't.
Explain it to the people, Brett.
Okay.
So, a fun fact about this song. Everyone was supposed to be singing at once. And when Prince, like, went to record it, he had everyone sing their vocals separate. And he was just going to mix them. And then he just liked everyone. He liked how it sounded with having each person sing one line.
Okay, so here's the deal. I agreed to do the show. Jeff, May, and Adam were like, do the show. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then it was 3 weeks out. I haven't done stand-up in like 3 years. And I didn't want to do any of the things that I had done.
Here you come.
Oh, my God.
Man, dude. If I had a good voice, maybe.
That's Brett.
So I agreed to do the show, and then 3 weeks passed, and I hadn't written any material, and I, there's, like, a difference between all the comics who are like, I'm full of anxiety and social awkwardness and stuff, but then they go up and they do it. There's a lot of people who are like, it overcomes them, and they, instead of going on stage to talk about it, they retreat inward inside the self. That's what I did. So I backed out of the show last minute because I just didn't...
I'm just waiting for you to sing again. Here we come.
I don't know any of the words of the song.
No, next line. Here we go. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here comes Brett.
This song was played in 1999.
God damn it, I want people to hear... I want people to hear the dude's voice. God damn it.
It's basically Brett.
All right, fuck all of you.
So I backed out of the show because I'm a cowardly man. Sorry, audience. Sorry, 19 European people in Santa Monica going to the West Side Comedy Club.
Oh, is that a slam against the show?
No, it's just there's like a lot of tourists there.
My mom would.
Well, it's because it's on
there.
The fucking Third Street Promenade.
It's a good thing if they get a bunch of people to show up to the shows.
This motherfucking guy.
I really wish
records a song with Prince, and now he's all big headed.
Yeah, he's too big for us.
I really wish you were there when I did the show because I didn't know my mom was coming until I looked outside.
Oh, I think I was there.
You
I
were
was
there.
Yeah.
You did the show.
Yeah, that was so shitty of me. I missed you and Vanessa doing the show for the first time.
My mom and my sister were right in the front
directly
row.
Directly in the front row.
And then I said something horrible and lewd, and then I made eye contact with my mom, and I'm like, "This is where I've stopped. This is where unconditional love stops."
Is this me?
Some parents meet that threshold when their child is convicted of murder. Others meet it when they watch them do comedy set.
Yeah.
Can I play a related voicemail?
Yeah, yes. Let's hear a voicemail.
Here we go.
Hey, I'm Top Gang. This is a caller formerly known as Man Bun because it's summer now.
Oh, it's that guy.
And my hair does not survive in this humidity. I'm calling because I was drunk the other day and I had found out that Prince had released an album that had featured Dave Chappelle on its cover, like the Dave Chappelle skit of him looking like Prince. I thought that was awesome. And I realized that I think I kind of want another Prince movie, like another Prince, you know, Purple Rain or something. I think it's necessary. I'm wondering what your opinion on that is. I think he's such a great enigma and such an eccentric person that he can carry all the swagger of art today's pop stars, but he's actually real about it. He's not doing it for attention. I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
Nobody does anything without doing it for attention.
Yeah. And I feel like from the way he phrased the question, he might not realize that there are other Prince movies.
Yeah.
And they are terrible. There's one called Under the Cherry Moon.
Oh,
that is
God.
In all black. Great soundtrack.
Of course.
Amazing. Yep. Came out in 85. Like, he was in his prime. But that movie, bleh, terrible. And there's also
there's
one
big one that I'm forgetting.
Graffiti Bridge. He had a movie called Graffiti Bridge.
There it is, as the kid.
Yeah. He stars in a short called Party Man.
Yep.
Playing the titular role of
Party
Man.
That's the music video for the Batman soundtrack.
Yeah. Yep. Party Man.
Think about that. There was a period in time when Hollywood was getting behind this huge Batman movie. It's going to be the first huge superhero movie since the Christopher Reeve Superman. It's the first big Batman movie. It's all this huge marketing thing behind it. It was like the most talked about movie of that upcoming year. And they're like, you know what we should do? We should get Prince to do the entire soundtrack. There was a period in American history where people were like, yeah, let's do that.
Makes sense.
And it was at a point where he was kind of like on the decline too.
Yeah.
It's not like they asked, like maybe he wouldn't have done it when Purple Rain was out, but
right,
like by the late 80s he was
that was the very end of the 80s, and he wrote so much music for the Batman soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like they wound up only using like 6 or 7 songs in the movie, but I think I read somewhere that he had written like 2 albums worth of material for that movie.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Well, he's got something like 600 or 700 unreleased songs.
Yeah.
He's one of those
like the most prolific musicians in history.
Yeah, he's one of those people. He's like Ryan Adams is like that. Ryan Adams just has like hundreds and hundreds of unreleased songs. And like, you know, probably 2/3 of them are just terrible.
Right. That's why they're unreleased.
Like, yeah, there's
a like,
reason.
Nobody needs to hear this.
If you ever want to read, like, I hate unauthorized biographies because it's hard to like verify everything. But there is one about Prince that it is the most entertaining fucking rock biography you will read. It makes Prince to be like this drug addict who had all these like stints in rehab in the 90s. Like, you never
I wonder how much
that
of that is true.
It's, I don't know. There's a really great story in that book about him recording a song. I think it was for the Sign of the Times album. And this woman who was the engineer at the time, he gets all the way through recording it, and she's like, it was like the best song I'd heard him record in years. And he gets done with it, and he goes, delete it. And she made him delete it. She was like, I can't believe he made me delete it. It was such a good song. He was like, kill it. God, I love Prince.
That sounds like a Prince thing too. To do.
Are these still...
This is a different episode.
This is the episode from last week.
Scroll up a little. There was a comment at the top. Oh, man, I've been waiting for you to talk about APD for months, ever since you talked about how often you go there. Well, how about this? Now that I've written about the Albuquerque Police Department, we can just stop talking about how much I go there. Let's just keep it a secret. Let's just keep it between me and anyone except the Albuquerque Police Department. Yeah. Thank you.
Let's not have ATB be hunted down by APD.
Too many acronyms.
Yeah, that is too
many. Oh, yeah. Nazeeb Wally asked, Adam, who else smokes weed at the cracked office besides you? And God, how much time do you have? Like, I think I could list the people who don't faster. Tom. I'm sure there's more than that. Randall, probably. I bet Randall doesn't smoke weed.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Jack. Actually. I bet Jack doesn't. Yeah. I don't know.
Jack is an enigma.
It's L.A., baby.
Yeah.
Well, this I kind don't, of place. Street it's legal here. Shit that I don't.
Yeah.
Because I'm like the perfect demographic for you probably smoke weed. People are constantly trying to buy drugs off of me.
Yeah, you should work at a weed store.
That has happened to me several times. Well, I'll be out and somebody will come up to me and try to buy drugs.
Yeah, like I've had people try and buy ecstasy off of me and I'm like, the most I've ever done is, I mean, smoke weed once and then eat an entire edible by accident. And then I threw up in a mailbox.
Mm. Well, like, that's, you know.
I don't have experience.
That's where it goes.
So, yeah, like I said, you are going to have to read the comments, someone. Brett is just scrolling through them furiously.
Elon Musk was born in South
Africa. Okay, goddammit. We can get... Yeah. Let's just get out of it. I'll save comments for the next episode. We need them anyway. All right, what do we have going on? Plugs. There is an Unpopular Opinion live show June 2nd. Tom Ryman! Telling jokes at that.
Ew.
Holla.
If you saw me tell jokes at the last one I did, they're going to be a lot of the same ones.
Yeah.
I'll bring most my mom again.
Come back.
Yeah.
Call the voicemail line 505-3 on Pops. That is
505-386-7677.
Thought someone was going to jump in, say?
Yeah, please leave a voicemail. We'll play it, maybe.
Yeah.
If you're not too mean or too overlong.
And what else? I think I'm doing a show in Albuquerque May 29th.
Society6.com/unpops. Buy a t-shirt.
Yeah, do that.
Sure.
Vanessa, you got anything to plug?
Yeah, I'm doing the Crispy Comedy Show May 25th, Awkwardly Social the 28th, and then I have my first appearance on PUI June 12th.
I can't wait.
And
what are you going to do?
Originally, I was just going to drink a bottle of wine.
Do mescaline.
Originally, I was going to do a bottle of wine. Now I'm just going to go to the bathroom and see... Whoever has something, I'm going to take that.
Okay, so Vanessa's getting date raped performing under the influence.
I'm basically playing Russian roulette game. With whoever's doing something in
the stall. Yeah, that sounds bad.
Yeah, and the best part is Jeff has been assigned to take care of me afterwards. So he's going to have to deal with whatever I'm bringing to the table.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to spill over into my apartment like the last one.
Might get assaulted as well.
He just leaves me on your doorstep. Take her.
I could see it. Because what's it like? You can't stay at Jeff's. God damn it. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. I said you can't stay at Jeff's.
Well, I mean, he has a couch.
God damn it.
And
I can see it already.
He's already planned.
I can already see it.
Just plan already. It's going to happen.
It's just fine. Sleep on the couch. Jeff can sleep on the floor this time. And I will once again sleep in the bed.
Why? Because it's my house.
This would be the best time for me to sleep on the floor. Because I wouldn't quite be there.
I would feel shitty if every time you've ever stayed over at my house, you slept on the floor.
Don't.
Because that would be
teaching a powerful lesson.
That would be
lesson.
Twice,
yeah,
and that would mean you slept on the floor both times.
I'm going to be a nightmare that day. Let's be honest.
Yeah, probably, because you're going to go in the bathroom and smoke PCP like Denzel Washington in Training Day.
Ethan Hawke. He tricks Ethan Hawke into doing it.
Oh, my God.
That'll be fun. I'm going to go to that.
I need somebody to record it just because...
And then I have a show June 13th at a fucking mansion.
Ooh.
Whose mansion?
I don't know. Ben Blanchard, the guy I co-host Unpopular Opinion with, started a show.
At a mansion?
Instead of mansion.
He bought a mansion.
It's probably
bought a mansion his. Just for the show.
Yeah, he got it. Like, we make so much money doing that stand-up.
doing that free stand-up.
Oh, that was good.
I steal maraschino cherries at bars so that my stomach doesn't hurt. That's where I am with stand-up.
Yeah, it's not a lucrative career. All right. Yay! Let's get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Tom, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Brett, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Vanessa.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.